All right, so most of you will know, if you've been checking the church announcements, that what we're going to do this evening is we're going to do a bit of a what we call bringing the conference home. And yes, some excited people out there. That's great. So it's not like all the churches or like a set thing. This is something that the Lord has laid on us as a church, on our hearts. Because I don't know about you, but I've really encountered God over the weekend, and I want to just reiterate. But to those of you that weren't maybe at the conference, there's an impartation that God wants to place in your heart. As you know, I was so reminded of just the conference last year, and I remember I went to the conference and it was amazing. There were lots of great speakers, and I really enjoyed it. But it was only up till much later in the year that I realized what I had received, because there's obviously so much content over a weekend like this, and you think you're going to forget most of it, but just throughout the year, just in practical ministry and practical life situations, it's like all those things that the revelation and the impartation happened, and I felt so enriched. So I want to encourage you. Just regarding the conference this week, and there's so much information, but it's not about the information. It's about the revelation, what God has placed in our spirits, and Megan's getting excited here up front. All right? Sometimes God puts something in your spirit. Remember, we as human beings consist out of flesh, soul, but also spirit. Okay? And I really believe that, we're spiritual beings, primarily spiritual beings. God created us to be spiritual beings, but often we don't understand spiritual things as much. So we don't often understand what happened over a weekend like this. And as I said, if you weren't there, God can do the same in your heart right here and tonight. I want to just ask before, I'm just going to run through just some of just the impartation that we have received over the weekend. But I want to ask first, quickly put up your hand if you were at the conference. Okay? Okay? You can lower your hands again. Now put up your hand again if you've got a testimony of how you've been changed over the weekend. Okay? Some of you are still thinking. All right? I just arrived from the conference about 3 hours ago, so I'm also just like still thinking, still getting grips on what's happened. Just quickly put up those hands again if you've got a testimony. Okay, so quite a few hands. We're going to have a section where we're going to just allow for some testimonies. I'm going to quickly run. And if you've got a testimony that you want to share of how you changed, or maybe you brought someone that changed over the weekend, we'd love to just share in that. And that's part of the impartation. So quickly, just I'm just going to run through the main sessions. It was quite a bit of a challenge to think through, what am I going to share tonight? Because there's less time than just one of the sessions. So for practical sense, it's going to be really tough. So what I've done is I'm just going to look at the main session. I'm just going to basically look at one point of impartation, or one point of what the speaker brought that you and I could think of and how we can practically apply it. So that's really the heart of tonight, is to say, but listen, God has done something amazing over the weekend in our hearts. And as soon as possible, we want to begin to become doers of the word. Amen? We don't just want to be hearers and, go to a yearly conference and become fat Christians because we've got lots of knowledge and we've heard a lot. We want to begin to, exercise immediately from tomorrow, from today, but from tomorrow when you walk into your classroom, into your workplace, that it's knowledge in working, revelation in working, that we are changed people. All right. Amen. Firstly, I just want to say, I don't know about you, but I was ministered to at the conference before I got to the first session. Who can agree with that? All right. Some of the security guards, the parking attendants, the people there, all chauffeur congregants, they were standing in rain, in snow, it was like in cold, and they were there the whole weekend. So I was ministered to. Just that is the impartation. Because Christ came to serve this world. So that is, I'm really challenged. And then where's Kobe? Kobe there at the back. Kobe did lots of amazing work with the decor at the conference. He's been working for a while. And there's a couple of ladies that's helped. So I really want to commend you guys, and especially you, Kobe, for the effort. Let's give her a hand. That was really brilliant. There's a couple of themes before I get to the actual sessions. There's a couple of themes that you can sort of, that features, and that was so amazing. You know, I want to say it, but the weekend is not about these cool speakers. You know, it's not even about shofar, but it's about God being with His people. God working together with His people. It was so amazing. I didn't do anything at the conference. I, you know, maybe prayed and facilitated, but it was so amazing and precious to me to just be up at the conference and in my worship and in my praying for people to realize, but now that's exactly the same thing that the Holy Spirit is saying through that speaker. Because it's not about a person, you know, and these maybe, you know, awesome people, men and women of God, and they are men and women of God. But it's about more than that. It's about God. And that's really the summary. And Pastor Fred said it in his session. The reason why we're doing convergence or the conference and the vision of convergence is simply to come together and to meet with God and to hear what is on God's heart. What is His agenda? Where is He taking us as a church? All right. So it's really exciting. All the things that God's been saying, and we're going to look at it practically, but a couple of themes that's come across through the sessions, because I don't know if you noticed, but a lot of the people, when they shared the same things. They just said it in different ways and different giftings and different angles, but it's so blessed to see the full counsel of God. People that are different, coming from different backgrounds all over the world, sharing things, but the same things, just from different angles. I mean, you feel so enriched because what remains there is God. Because it's different cultures, the commonality is only God. All right, so it's not culture that's been shared, it's God's glory. Okay, so the first thing is, of course, one of the themes was convergence. Convergence obviously means unity, a unison, a coming together, a unity of heart. All right, that was one of the themes. Another theme that came through was suffering. Okay? But now when I say suffering, you know, it's not very positive. You know, when I think about that's one of the things, suffering, it's almost like, you know, if you're married, it's like talking about the dishes. Okay? It's not nice. You know, so it's like extracting a certain element. So if I talk to you about washing the dishes and we're talking about marriage, you know, it doesn't make much sense. But now in the context of what the reward is behind the suffering, that is where it gets really exciting. Amen? So that was a theme, and we're going to come back to this because this is really, really brilliant, because suffering is just the means. It's not the end. Okay, a lot of churches in the past have got it very wrong, where suffering is a focus, but suffering is not the focus. The focus is something beautiful that God does. And sometimes, this is where it's so important. Sometimes you and I want to avoid the suffering. We think it's God's plan for us to avoid the suffering. But that way it's such a precious truth to know that suffering is part of our Christian walk. It's part of the plan, because behind that lies something that is precious. All right, that was one of the themes. Another, of course, the theme of the conference was the keys of the kingdom, the keys of David. And now, what does it mean? What does the keys of David mean? It means several things, but it simply means, what does a key do? It opens a door. Okay, so God is busy saying to us, but listen, He's entrusting us with keys for us to unlock doors, to go into our communities, to go into Cape Town, and to lock open the doors that are closed for the kingdom. All right, that's what it means. Okay, so sometimes, you know, it's we're thinking it's a spiritual thing out there, and you know, it means all these things. It's simply keys, access. God wants us to be effective in this world, in Cape Town, on this campus. He wants to unlock doors for us. Amen. Another variant, this is something just personal to me that really stood out at the conference. And who was it? Jason Upton session. All right. Now, there was a, Nikki's going like, sure. Because it was like, sure. It was really an encounter with God. But something that was really precious that he said, but several of the speakers was moments of encounters. And not missing the moments, precious moments that God has for us. And another thing, one of the other speakers, I think it was Dr. Carlos Campos, he said something that was really on his heart was about living in the moment. You know, not living in the future, living at different places, but moment. And God wants to give us precious encounters where we miss those encounters. And some of us have missed, I've realized I've missed a lot of encounters with God and with people, precious moments. And unfortunately, those moments are missed. But now God wants us to return and say, but now, from now on, I'm going to be focused about the moments and the precious things that you have for me to walk in. Okay, so let's quickly go on. The first session was Dr. Corne Becker. And just a quote there, and the message that he spoke was exactly on this. The title of the message was The Keys. Stewarding the keys. Now that God has given us these keys, and he's begin to showing us where are the doors to open, what do we do with these keys? And I'm just going to quickly run through the points. And the first key, he says, the suffering theme. He says, keys are not giving in times of comfort. If you think of Joseph, Moses, all these people, the keys, the massive success that they had wasn't in times of comfort. It was when they were outside their comfort zone. Keys cannot be acquired through human knowledge. It's not human knowledge. It's revelation. Divine knowledge. Keys are always given only through one person, Jesus. Okay? And the fourth key is the presence of God. The fact that you and I can do nothing. It's the cry of Moses. Lord, we're not going to go anywhere unless your presence is with us. Now, something he said, and it's on the slides, that every place on earth where there's a great truth, there's a great contention. Okay, there's a place in you and I where there's an awesome truth that God has given us. Then there's a contention. There's a fight that you and I need to participate in. Sometimes there's suffering that goes along with it. If you just think of the great contested scriptures in the Word, you will know that is something very precious. So let me give an example. Renata mentioned it in the announcements a bit earlier, but baptism. How many fights have you heard about baptism? Okay, now that is a seriously important truth. And do you think the enemy knows that? Of course he does. Okay, so that is a truth that you and I need to fight for, because God knows the power. That's why he gives us to us. And there's several other examples of precious truth. Of course, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, you know, there's so many contentions. We're going to look at one of those sessions. But that is where the power is. That is where the truth is. And you and I need to contend for it. So that's the first session, really importation of fighting for what is ours. What God has given us. Okay, the second session was, second main session was Pastor Fred. And he spoke on convergence, the reason why we come together from different streams of life, from different cultures, from different church backgrounds, all coming together to hear what is God saying to the church. Another thing that was really precious is about one of the speakers said it, but the Holy Spirit is not just in charismatic churches or places where, you know, churches that you know, call themselves under, you know, that sort of title, Pentecostal or charismatic or any of those. But the Holy Spirit is there where our heart is hungry and longing for Him. So that's convergence, is to come together and to say, but where's God moving? Regardless of denomination, regardless of, you know, because you can be a renewal church, but it can be dead because you're not connected to the Holy Spirit. But you can be very traditional and very mainline church, but be full of the Holy Spirit. And that is convergence, to find that place where God is, where is He working. One of the other things that Fred said is going to war for the Christian means flipping the light switch. Darkness and light. God is light. There's no contest between light and darkness. All right? If there's light, it infiltrates instantly. It's not a contest. The contest is not in our authority. The contest is in our hearts. All right? And that is where God wants to give us a victory. Because that's probably one of the big things that God did in over the weekend, is just things in our hearts. Because revival, and God has been speaking to us so much about revival, but if revival doesn't happen in our hearts, it's not going to happen. And that's the first place that God wants to work. Pastor Fred said, if we minimize the vision, we will be scattered. All right? And that comes from a place where God reveals truth, and some of us have specific giftings. And God takes us as a church through seasons. And on this season, we focus on this thing. On the next season, we focus where God is moving. That's convergence. Next season to the next season to the next season. But now, the problem is if we get stuck at one season, at one truth, at one place where God is moving at, or one gifting, then we're minimizing the vision. Because the vision is massive. It's huge. It's big. It's the world. Take the gospel to the world, to the uttermost ends. So if you and I go, and we as a church, as around us, we go and we minimize the vision. We break it down and we reduce it to something less than what Christ said, all the world. Then we'll be scattered. Because you know what? That truth will divide us, if that's the only truth that we hold on to. So that's why we need to continuously depend on the Holy Spirit to lead us, guide us, and show us into all truth. Amen. Third session. That was Dr. Carlos Campos. He's a leader of the Regent University. He quoted Socrates. He says, an unexamined life is not worth living. That's Socrates. And then he says, but he wants to add, an unlived life is not worth examining. Okay, so he spoke about the whole thing of measuring how our lives are at and where we're at. And I'm just personally, the Lord has been speaking to me so much about how our culture of today is a culture of feeling and not thinking. If you go and ask the average person on UCT or in Cape Town, ask them scriptures, you know, or, you know, ask them about why they don't believe in faith, and you go on and ask the next question, but now, where is that in scripture? Quote me one scripture, or, you know, tell me, but you'll find that most people don't know, but they're feeling, because popular belief says this and this and this, all right? So most people, the average person around, are feeling what the society is feeling. They're not thinking through things. But if you and I can take people to a place where they can just think through the word, through the scriptures, you know, often people say, you know, the Bible contradicts itself. Next question is to ask, but now where? Show me. And most people won't be able to show you. You know, because it's just a popular belief. It's just people are feelers and not thinkers today. But so much so, us in the church, And this is what's so precious about Dr. Carlos' session is, you know, because we're so scared of legalism, we never want to measure how we function in the kingdom. We never want to measure how much do we spend on quiet time, how much do we worship, how much do we do these things. So the challenge that was placed, and this is a practical application for us personally, that Dr. Carlos put before us, is he says there's, you and I have 60-70 hours, so 6,070 hours per year that you and I have to steward, that God has given us. The practical challenge is to go and to begin to measure, begin to write down. And it's not legalistic. Okay, I don't have time to go take you through the whole session. I want to also encourage you, there's going to be DVDs of the conference. So if you missed it, get the DVD. Go and listen to it. Go and listen through the sessions. But I want to practically challenge you. I'm going to do this challenge. I'm going to log a whole week of my life. I'm going to every day check, because in my mind, I think I spend this time, much time with God. In my mind, I think this is how much I pray. Okay, but now I want to go and see it. So that's a practical challenge. I want to extend the challenge to you as well, to go and check, measure, okay, what you're doing with your time. Another thing that was really precious, Dr. Carlos said, he says, he's a lecturer, but he says, a statistic says that today if you ask a student, why are they studying, 95% of the students will tell you they're not there for the academics, they're there to get to their career. And he says about 10 years back, it was 75%. All right? So 10 years back, you know, 25% of people were there for the actual thing. So what he's saying is, what happens today is people use, so in this example, studies as a stepping stone to the next point in their lives. But he says this is the pattern of modern man, is we doing what we're doing now to get us to where we actually want to be. All right, so what we're doing is a stepping stone to what we want to do. And I find this so true, because so many of us are living in the future and we're missing the moment. All right, so this where I'm now, I don't really want to do this, but I'm so focused. And he says people have become so focused, if you just look statistically, to where they want to get at, that we're missing the moment. And he specifically mentioned we lose missions. We lose the missional aspect, because we come to a classroom, we go to a workplace, and we actually focused on where we want to get at. So we just do what we need to do to get to where we want to get at, and we forget about the people around us. We forget about those moments, once again, the moments of life that God has for us, to be in the moment, to be present to the moment, present to the people around us. I need to go quicker because we want to have some testimonies. Session number 4. Rick Russo. Quickly going to go. He quoted N.T. Wright. It was his sermon outline. He says, there's 4 echoes of the human heart. 4 things that all people long for. First one is a longing for justice. He shared some testimonies of people that were not even Christians, but there was a longing inside of them to make a difference in the world. There's so many people out there, they're not even Christians, but they want to make a difference. And they'll offer up sacrifices. But all of us, all of humanity, has a longing for justice, is a quest for spirituality, a hunger for relationship, and a delight in beauty. But now what was so precious about Rick Russo, his session, or that specific session, is he was talking about, you know, the game, going to a game, the rugby game, or a football game, or whatever game you go to. And, you know, we go to the game and we're all excited and we dress up and, you know, we shout at the ref and we shout at everything. And, you know, afterwards, if we won the game, we high-five each other. And then he says, Rick Russo, he says, what did you have to do with that? What contribution did you make to that? Nothing. Zero. You had no part to play in that game. You were just a spectator. And that was the heart behind that session. Is so many times we do that in our Christian walks, is we become spectators. And we feel so part of it because we're in the atmosphere and we're watching the game being played and things are happening, but are we participating? Are we actually in the game? And he says, and the quote is there on the screen, the game is out there. All right. The game is out there, and you and I need to get out there and take the kingdom out there. All right? Live the life out there. Session number 5. That was last night. Bayless Conning. Title of the message was Miracles in Macedonia. Now there's just so much in this. It's difficult to focus on one thing. really such a powerful message. Bayless has such an amazing testimony. She is of how God changed him, and go and listen to the session to hear his testimony. One of the things he said is, which I really agree with him, people in the world, he says, if someone is really hungry for truth, God will move heaven and hell to get it to you. So no matter if you're a Christian or in a church or nothing, if God, if you are open to the truth, God will get it to you. And that was so amazing. Some of the mission testimonies, I think Pastor Sias shared, of this Muslim imam. She was a teacher in a Muslim country, completely separated from truth. And Sias said, he met her in, I think it was Jordan, one of these Islamic countries. She shared a testimony on how Christ appeared to her. He came to her, visited her, and he changed her life. And, you know, she's spreading the gospel in amazing ways. Another thing he said this 4 parts of this Macedonian calling. Once again, the whole moment thing, living life in the moment, because now with the situation of Macedonia, God called the disciples to take the gospel into Asia Minor. But now then it says that the Holy Spirit resisted them and to go into certain areas, into those areas, and eventually they went into Macedonia, where they met a lady, Lydia. And this lady then converted, came to Christ, and she was changed. But now, in the bigger context, what happened is this lady was the open door into Asia Minor. So, in the situation, and it was so powerful about this session, in the situation that the disciples were maybe frustrated. They couldn't see, why are we not going to these places? Why is it not happening? And we're not getting any success here. But now in the bigger picture, God knew that that little moment with that woman was enough for the gospel to be spread into massive places. All right. So the application for you and I is sometimes we're obedient to God and it feels like everything is wrong. You know, with the disciples, what happened with them is they were thrown into prison and they were beaten and all these things. And the scene as they were in prison, you know, you can just imagine. God said you must go there and everything goes wrong. So now where is God? And the impartation there is an impartation of when you and I are in difficult places and we know God has put us there, but it doesn't feel like it to the flesh. To just go on, to just press through and just to continue. He says you'll arrive at your destination if you just don't quit. Okay, so that's the importation, to just don't quit. For some of us, you may be in a difficult spot. It doesn't look like there's any hope, but you know God has placed you here. Just don't quit. Just continue. What the enemy wants is he wants to discourage and he wants you to pull out. And to go in another direction. God says, just don't quit. Continue. And another such amazing thing that he said. He said, some circumstances, the only way that you're going to overcome that circumstance is by singing a song, by worshiping God. And he takes the scene of how they were in the prison and they just worshiped. And God came and he saved the people and boom, everything happened. But their focus was just on worshiping God. You know, the focus wasn't on, you know, let's worship God to get something, you know, or something to happen or something to change. But it was just, and there's some circumstances, situations that you and I are going to find ourselves in. And I'm encouraged by this, to just worship. Just focus on God, just worship Him. It's the only way we're going to pass those hurdles. So that was last night's session. And then there's the last two sessions before we get some testimonies. Can I ask if you've got a testimony that you want to share? Quickly come to the front and sit here in front just to save some time quickly. But just two other sessions I want to just quickly highlight. It was some of the electives, but really it was so powerful. The one was Corne Bakker, when he spoke in one of the electives about convergence. And he said, salvation without obedience is heresy. I want to say, this is really such a relevant session. If you were at the session, listen to it again. If you were at another elective, get the session. All of us must listen to this session. It's so relevant. It's about the Holy Spirit, and it's so relevant for us here in Cape Town. And the power of the Holy Spirit, and he speaks about the three effects of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, he's looked at the scripture, Isaiah 6. He says, three things always when the Holy Spirit is poured out, when the Holy Spirit comes, it's three things happen. People are enlightened, cleansed, and inflamed with the gospel. Three things that always happen, and they always happen together. And he tells the story of this man that told him about this amazing encounter that he had with the Holy Spirit, and how he was shaking under the Holy Spirit. So he asked this man, true story, asked him, where's your wife? And he said, now I left that ugly thing. But now I found this new woman, and she also shakes under the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said to him, I have to tell you the truth, that's not the Holy Spirit. And there's so much of imitation out there. Imitations of the true. Imitations of God. But when the Holy Spirit really comes, there'll be holiness. Because that's the first part of His name. He's the Holy Spirit. Okay? There'll be a cleansing. There'll be a Isaiah encounter where He says, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. There'll be repentance. Okay? When the Holy Spirit really comes. So this is really relevant to us in Cape Town. I want to encourage you. I believe that we're going to encounter this quite a lot. So get that session. And then the final session I want to end off is Jason Upton's session. The quote there is, if you create a place where everything is predictable and consistent, then that is a place where God does not live. All right. Once again, shaping our lives and making everything in such a way that the unpredictable is taken away. The suffering element is taken away. We want to make our lives as comfortable as possible. And the moment we do that, it's a place devoid of God. All right. And it was so encouraging. The session, the title of the message is a very interesting title. He called it, I've been the blind man on the road, I've been the boy running home, and the love of God has never changed me. Basically, what he was sharing about was spontaneity in worship, connecting with God. And I really believe this is something that God wants to do in our worship, where it's not about how amazingly anointing the band plays. That so struck me over the weekend, and specifically when Jason Upton was leading the worship. I wasn't even thinking of what he was singing about. I was speaking to God, and I was hearing God. I was listening to God, you know. And it doesn't matter if he played badly or good. I was connected to God, And that is the impartation. I believe that that session, and there's so much in it, I can't even begin to start. But what I believe is God wants us to become people that connect with Him. Not just in times of worship, but any places, and in even the most difficult places, uncomfortable places. If the worship is bad, you know, and we're very blessed with awesome worship and people that really prepare and lead us into the presence of God. But I believe that God wants to bring us to a place where we can worship if the worship is bad. The band is playing badly. All right? Because we're connecting with God. Okay? And we can be moved to tears, not because tears are important, but because we're encountering God, because we're connecting with God. Amen. All right. Okay. Can we have some testimonies? And then Clint's gonna share something. So who's first?
I've been actually thinking about it a little bit today, and I realized that God's been showing me things already before convergence happened. And when Anton came to speak about the way in the early church, that really sat with me. I went home and I thought, Lord, how can I be the way? I'm not the way. And then I started thinking back to when we watched that DVD about Peter's life and how Peter had encountered Jesus and how he was never the same again. And this whole weekend, I just felt God was saying, we're getting back to the core. We're getting back to the core. And every time I was listening and the scripture was just jumping out at me. And I know that sometimes when I read the Bible and I just see what's going on in the world at the moment, and I feel so far removed from what happened there and the people who walked with Jesus. And I feel, and I think, Lord, what, I don't understand what you're saying in your word. I feel so far removed from you and far removed from the people who walked with you and the people who came after you and the disciples. And it just happened all the time with that DVD with Anton over the weekend. God was just showing me it's real. You are so closely connected with the people who walked with me. It's happening now. And when Rick Rousseau was talking about getting out into the river, I just felt that again, the way, the river. And when Bayless Connolly was talking about, sure, so much, as Rana said, I can't even think now. But when he was talking about Macedonia and he was talking about all the different little things, it felt like that scripture was just popping out at me and so alive. And God was just saying, look, it's here. Yeah.
Just one of the themes that I forgot to mention, actually, that came over the weekend was resurrection power. That was really exciting and something that God wants to do in our midst.
Something that stood out for me. Sorry. My heart is beating quite good. Something that stood out for me is that something God wanted to remind me is that His love never fails. So I have this issue, I don't know why, with God that if I don't read my Bible, ouch. I think, you see, like if I don't have a quiet time with God, I feel condemned and I feel, oh, God doesn't love me anymore. So in Bible school on Tuesday, all the speakers just say something amazing to me. I watched a video of Kim Walker. She said, because in that moment I feel dry, I'm like, okay, I'm going to wait for the conference to come alive again. And she said something, she was like, there are some people who say, okay, I'm going to wait for the conference to feel refreshed. She said, no, go to the conference ready. And I was like, oh, this woman, you know. So. It really motivated me, so I was quite excited, and I came to the conference, and I was really like, yeah, I'm ready, like, you know. And so I started, and I don't know why, but I was feeling, like, very good, and after I was like, and at the moment, I start, when he was, I think they was preaching, and I started to sing a song. I was singing How He Loves Us, and it was just a song that came out in my heart. I was singing, yes. And then after when they called to pray the first time, they called to pray, and I went to the front. You know, I always got the occasion because I know it's a blessing for people praying for me. So I was on my knees, and I was like that. And then after someone prayed, she came to pray for me, and at the moment, I was singing and how he loves us. And after that, I was singing, they put that song. And I was like, wow, like I was just broken in a good way. And something also that stood up for me in the conference, that when Haiti, H, I will say H, Brice, because I don't know how to say her name, she said this, when someone come and steal things in your house and take your material things, but you still in your heart, you know that you're rich because you know where your rich treasure is. It really means to me because it gave me hope that I've been losing a lot of things, but I know where my treasure is. So, and I've been challenged, like, I really want to say thank you to people who work to put this conference very nice, because it teach me how to be more hospitable to people, how to serve the kingdom, because God said, what you do unto others, you do to me. So, and about humility too, they've been really in facing humility, and God has told me, whatever you do, remember that it's not you who's doing, but it's me who's doing that. So yeah, that's basically it.
The lady Dominique was talking about is Haiti Brits. You didn't get that.
Hello, guys. For me, at the conference, just Jason Upton's session, where he talks about leaving the garden of God. Where you leave the garden of God, and then maybe you do whatever you do, you sing, you do whatever. And every moment you are outside. You're not with God by choice, your choice. God is using every little situation, wherever you are, to try and call you back again. So you get all these little moments where God is opening little opportunities. And I think it was Jason as well who said, Bayless, when he said, God will move heaven and hell to get to you, when you call to him, to get to you, he'll move heaven and hell. So when these little moments come, and God has created all these little moments wherever you are, in the most evil places, and then when you just cry out once, he'll be there and he'll save you. And then the next thing was Pastor Rick Rousseau, when he talks about when Jesus finally returns and he separates the sheep from the goats. And then he says, okay, because you have been with me when I was in prison, you visited me when I was in prison, you clothed me when I was not dressed, you did all of these things. Then because then you you inherit my kingdom, basically. And because you did not do all of these things for all the goats on the left hand side of his side, then because of that you can't basically inherit my kingdom. So what this says to us is that, I don't know, it just felt so humbling, because God is so humble as to say, you're doing all these things for my people, and for me it's like you're doing all of this for me. No matter if they are sinners or not, if you do all of these things, clothe my people, visit them when they are in prison, I don't know, when someone is hungry, give them food, whatever, you're doing all of that to God. And that's for God is enough for you to inherit the kingdom of God. Not to do anything to specifically for God, but to do anything for other people, minister to other people around you. And that's bringing the kingdom back to it. Thank you. Yes, Arena just reminded me of something else as well. Well, I thought I wasn't going to do this, but okay, it's fine. Well, basically, 2 years ago, 2 years ago, 2009, I got saved. Yeah, it's so far. I saved for the first time. I became a Christian. And it was so exciting getting saved, being experiencing the Holy Spirit for the first time. Like, everything seemed to be going so well, like so well. I was so excited. I didn't expect anything to go wrong. I expected everything to be smooth sailing, to just go like this every time. To just grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. But then I started meeting challenges. Like I had a lot of pride. So I would get easily offended in church. And then, like, something would happen. Because the thing to remember about being in church is we are all in the process of growth. So if your brother or sister offends you, and then that becomes a reason for you leaving church, then it's not recognizing a basic truth about God. That God, it does not rule here on earth. That the kingdom is still to come, and that the kingdom will come when only everyone has been saved. So, and that no one is saved, not everyone has been saved yet. And that by being in church, it doesn't mean that everything is perfect, but we are working. As I think it's Paul who says, not that I have already received, but I push forward. Because that's what we do here in church. So I got offended, I left church, I did all of these things, I did drugs and all of that. And then I thought I was okay. Like I had a lot of pride, intellectual pride. I justified everything I did with philosophy, with science. It seemed to make sense. I had all the reasons why God didn't exist, why God wasn't there. But I was not happy. But at that time, I could ignore that I wasn't happy, that I wasn't fulfilled, that I wanted something more. I could ignore that. And then, it wasn't that far ago, but I think less than 3 weeks ago, I was in bed one night. I was just trying to sleep. I hadn't been able to sleep like this whole year. I haven't been able to sleep. Like it's been a struggle for me to sleep. What would happen to me is I would stay the whole night without sleeping. Then in the morning I would go to work, and then when I came back from work, it's then only like I would sleep only in the transport back from work for those 2 hours only, and I would go home not sleep again. And it's like every day it would be like that for me. So I haven't been sleeping. And like 3 weeks ago, okay, same thing. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep like it was, but it was even worse this time. Like I had all these thoughts. I was suicidal thoughts and everything. It was just so terrible. Like I couldn't live anymore. And then I cried and said, okay, God, if you exist, just take my life now. I don't want to live anymore. Because it's been so terrible for me this past year especially. But like even before that, I even felt fulfilled. I know you don't exist, but if you do exist, just take my life. That's the prayer I prayed. And then a couple of days pass, and then I can't sleep again. And I stayed like that. Like the first time I cried like that, nothing happened. Then a couple of days pass, and then I can't sleep again. So I'm lying there until 2 a.m. in the morning. And then I felt this thing, okay, this says, pray, just tell God everything. But I wanted to resist. I said, no, I know God doesn't exist. Why would I pray to someone who doesn't exist? But finally, like when I couldn't sleep even then, I just decided to pray. I laid out everything that was in my heart, everything. I told him I don't think he exists. I told him everything. I told him how I felt about everything, why I left the church. Everything just came out. And then when I prayed like that, the Holy Spirit came down. I had this great joy. And then the next thing was, okay, call blessing there. So I called him, but I had an outdated number, so I couldn't reach him. But literally, I couldn't reach him. Okay. And then the funny thing is, for this month, I had planned to visit Cape Town. Before I had this experience, I had planned to visit Cape Town after the 26th, like from there, like from next week, I had planned to visit Cape Town. Like just have a normal holiday. So when I got contacted Blessing, he contacted me with Reino again. So I talked to Reino, and he said, oh, yeah, we have a conference here. I think we have one more space available. Would you like to come? I was already coming to Cape Town. So, just everything just came together, and it was perfect. And I got so blessed at the conference. And and when Jason spoke, he was speaking exactly my experience, what happened to me. And it was so amazing. And I God just said to me when Jason was speaking, just kneel on your head, come down on your knees. And I cried, I think, for the first time since my grandmother passed. And it was so powerful for me. Thank you.
This is actually a team testimony. It's not a low key testimony or something. I was involved as far as a sorry. It's so you guys love me. Now Monica told me she can't tell if she's gonna cry, and all of you guys know I'm a crier. So, any case, I'm gonna tell it, and please help me because I was only a part, or I only saw a part. I didn't see everything that happened with this testimony I'm about to tell you guys. But basically, it happened during the week. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday. Wednesday. My wife will help me with the fact. But there's an open door at Nikki's school. She gives life orientation, and one of the curriculums is religious instruction, I think it is. And you know, that's such an open door for Rainer to come in and to do the gospel and share the gospel. And that's what happened. And the one guy responded. I don't think it was an altar call, but the Lord moved, and they were on the spot with this 15-year-old boy named Daniel. And they actually wanted to invite him to Amplified, and unfortunately couldn't go because he went on holiday. And then Reno had another ticket to conference. So he left Nikki a message the same day, and he said, Nikki, before school ends, you need to phone me back. And it ended up them we inviting Daniel to come with us to the conference. And yeah, you know, no, not to this guy, he's got a very difficult background, you know, and when someone's hurt like that, you could call him a black sheep, but it's not because of him, it's because of his circumstances. So he's a difficult child, you know, but he came with this weekend, and the Lord touched him. But what stood out for me, it was how this whole thing happened, you know. It was really the Lord used so many people. And I have to single out one, but I'm going to do it just now. But he came on this weekend. He's not part of a family, spiritual family. And he loved it. You know, he slept through a lot of the sessions, but... But it's not the information. It wasn't the information. It was an encounter with God. And this, I'm actually coming to the testimony now. What happened with him? He sneaked away, but during the course of the weekend, he's got a few habits. But it's actually amazing. He actually left the habit while he was like on the weekend. He said he's going to leave it for this day. And but he went to the bathroom in like strategic times. But one time I went with him to the bathroom, and we came back, and I missed him. We were all sitting at the back of the grass, and Nikki said, where is he? And I thought, I'm just going to go around the corner. I'm going to look where he is. And he was standing with a man, and I thought, oh, this looks suspect. And I went closer, and the man was in tears. To cut a long story short, what happened was he saw the man smoking, and he wanted to ask for a drag. And as he was about to ask for a drag, he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And this guy was in a very bad space. I'm talking about the man. And what he shared with him was something that he was waiting for his whole life. And the guy was in tears for a 15-year-old boy. Came and talked to him, and he shared with him. A message straight from heaven. And to see a boy like that, to see God touch someone like that, and to move in someone's life like that through a weekend like this, to see a child that he doesn't like physical touch normally, keep away from him, to see him open up and all of us hug him, and all of us, and that's everybody. It's you guys, you know, to introduce him to our family. And to see him being accepted. And Monica, I saw Jesus this weekend through you, you know. This kid is changed. And he sent messages to Nikki, and he said to her, He can't wait when he's back from his holiday because we're definitely going to see him. He enjoyed the weekend so much. And one of the messages said that he really had, paraphrase, a really great experience of who God is. So all glory to God, all glory to the way he moves, the way he uses everybody in unison. It was just a team testimony of what God wants to do through us and how we said he will really move the heavens and earth for someone that hungers after him. So.
I feel a little bit like Pastor Benjamin. I'm like, I want 2.5 hours. just to say about Daniel, if you go to school, and you ask the teachers about Daniel, they'll be like, oh, Daniel Duval. And just to see, that was such a blessing for me to see that everyone that met him this weekend was like, wow, this is such a nice boy. Like, he's so lovely. He's so kind. And even Rena was there on Wednesday, and on Thursday morning, one of the teachers came into the staff room and said, one of the teachers said, he doesn't know what's going on with Daniel Duval, but something's different. He seemed to have changed this attitude. Doesn't know if it's real and how long it lasts, but he's like cleaning the science lab all by himself. And but I don't actually want to share about that. Loki and I, a couple of us were at Rick Rousseau's session this morning, and it was the highlight of my weekend. I went to the conference on Thursday really tired and exhausted, and I was, you know, when this, I don't know who's the pastor that opened it, that said you can feel everyone's expectation, and I was kind of like, oh, not like Dominique, I did not come prepared, I haven't slept all week, I'm tired, I want to go home, and the weekend for me was by Friday afternoon, I was actually saying I actually hate this, like it's because I hear everything. There's such cool teachings in them. Everyone's sharing such incredible things, and I feel like everyone's sharing. For me, one of the themes was intimacy with God, and that we have to be in that place. And I'm just like, I'm struggling in the worship, and I hear what they are saying, and I'm like, wow, that is amazing. But I feel so like distant, and I feel so far. It feels so not like it. And this morning, Rick shared him, and he started his sermon with a story of how they used to play hide and go seek, and they had this one friend, Larry, and Larry used to miss the whole game because Larry would hide, and no one would ever find him. He'd stay right there, and when he shared the story, I actually put my notebook down, because I realized he's gonna tell, he's, you know, God's gonna speak to me now, so. No making notes in him. And then he shared about truth. And he shared about the fact that there's only one truth. And we all know the truth. We all know that that's Jesus. But then he actually had this very nice prop, this big T on the stage. And then he shared about how so often in life we have our own little truths that we pick up and we hang on to. And we start to like build our own little, so you had all different boxes, we build our own truth on the other side, and then the smallest little wind comes and it blows the truth, it blows our truth over, it completely frazzles us. He was sharing how I could so relate with him, because that's how I've been feeling, how there was at a stage in his life when the smallest little thing would just, he'd have this rush of emotion, and he'd be so upset, you know, and kind of like put it down again, and there was no reason for him to feel that way. And some of you have prayed for me in the last time and will know that I've burst out crying in the coffee shop on Friday and in church, and because there's nothing wrong, there's nothing, you know, there's circumstance wise there's nothing wrong in my life at the moment, everything's very cool. I mean, things are happening at school and Loki's fabulous and I love the church and loving Bible school and everything's just going well. But I have these like sudden like burst outs of emotion and he just I've lost the plot here. He just shared on how so often, you know, we have these little things. And for me, one of those things is I have a tendency to be Martha there in the kitchen. And I spend a lot of time in the kitchen. I get very distracted by all the things that I do. And one of the speakers said on the weekend that, I think it was Jason Upton, that sometimes we separate ourselves from God and then we blame God for the separation. And that I knew that was another word for me. But then this morning, while he just said, then he sh- oh sorry, Rick shared another story, and he said his daughter also doesn't understand the game hide and seek. And she always hides in the same place. When she was little, she always hides in the same place. And you know, he'd make a big noise when he goes up the stairs. Are you in here? And are you there? And he says, before he even gets to her, she jumps out of the cupboard and she comes running down the hall and she just jumps on him. And he said, like for her, the point of the game, while all of us are, or not all of us, some of us, me in this instance, are hiding somewhere, not wanting to be found. We are being Larry. All we actually really want to do is we just want to be found. And that Marichan was sitting next to me then. I was on the floor crying. And they prayed for us. And I just realized, and I know this about my life, but I just wanted to share it with you because you're my family. I know that the love of God is something that I know in my head. I know about it. I know that I know that God died for me, and I know that He loves me. And I'm not a crier. So I know that He loves. I know in my head that He loves me, but I don't really feel it. And this morning I was just so blessed, and I can just truly say that I felt the love of God, and I could feel that God is really telling me that He loves me. And yeah, I just wanted to share that with you and be like, I'm so encouraged, and I'm scheming. I'm gonna be crying a lot. Praise God.
Thanks. Amen. Yes, guys, and yo, I'm just so privileged to be here, and I won't keep you long. I don't know how long you guys normally have church, but in Durban, sometimes we get carried away with the worship, and we realize it's hour 15 later, and then somewhere we got to get the word of God in there. Meanwhile, it started a long time ago, because if we're singing scripture, then you pretty much got a sermon. And I just want to thank you for what you shared there, because if there's something we've been challenged on lately in Durban, and the last 3 weeks, it's been pretty intense for us with regards to the lady at the well. And it's something we've read so many times. And the Lord said to me, this is a word for this family now. And what we're finding is that it's actually it's extending outside of Shofar Durban. We even heard it at the conference. Ultimately, the story ends there with that woman having that one conversation with Jesus. And she became the key to a city. To a city. One woman. And guys, if you ask me to go on missions, you'll only have to ask a half a time, because I'm that keen on going. And I was so challenged by this. The Lord said to me, you need to stop, come here to this well and have a conversation. And then He reminded me of the needy, you know, and the poor that will always be out there. And He said, listen, while the bridegroom's here, you sit here and you're going to have this conversation. Because when I'm gone, then you're going to have to go out and do all these things. And the funny thing is, when He left, He said, I'm going to give you a helper, the Holy Spirit. In other words, He hasn't left. He's still here. So that doesn't mean we mustn't do anything, because the helper enables us to go. However, what do we go with if we did not have the conversation? And that for us as a family in Durban, because I don't know if you've been following, but we're more keen on going than staying. My challenge is getting them to church, because they rather want to do an outreach than to do what we're doing here tonight. And I have to explain to them the importance of the coming together of the believers, the fellowship of the believers. It's a good problem to have. It's a good problem to have. But I want to encourage us tonight, and maybe we just stand. I'm not even going to share long with you guys. I just really, really, after this weekend especially, and for some of us that wasn't there, you may think, why are we going on and on about this weekend? It's not about the conference, guys. It's about keys. And it's not just keys that you've been given in terms of gifts. I want to say to you, you are it. You're it. And what the devil, sorry, I get really passionate about this. What that guy, and if you see one of the pearls, I said that mucker, that guy, will try and keep you deceived about the fact that you are not the key. You're it. You are a creation of the living God. You're a creation. He wove you together like so intimately, so detailed. And the enemy, the last thing he wants you to realize is that you are that specifically designed. One key fits one lock. There's only one master key, Jesus Christ. One key fits one lock. You have been designed specifically for this time, now, on this campus, in this city. Okay, guys? And when I was mentioning the next generation just now, I'm overthinking about the generation in terms of age that's following me. The generation Jesus Christ is looking for is a generation that will sit down, listen to Him, drink of that water, and go. That's the next generation. People that will engage with the truth. I don't care if you're 80, man. You can be the next generation. That generation that says, I'm sick and tired of religion. Because what that Samaritan woman did, she threw the book at Jesus. She knew the rules. And Jesus said, put down your rules. Come here, I want to give you living water. And that blew my mind. Because I've been playing church for a long time, 8 years to be exact. Until I got sent out to Durban, and then I realized rules and what I call radical faith means nothing at a trance party when a guy says to me, you tell me who is Jesus to you. This might sound hectic. But when girls are walking around with massive dildos, I'm not saying this to be funny or weird, when they walk up to you and say, are you a Christian? Then you got to come out with it. Yes, I am. And then she says, what does that mean? And then the rules, religion, doesn't get us anywhere. Those same girls, of them, is sitting in our church today. Girls that's been dancers in clubs that got paid for it. Jesus wants to have a conversation with us that takes us beyond the rules. Where we engage with the fact that we're the key. I am it. Because I've got only so long on this planet. And then I will never share the gospel again because then I'm in heaven. There will not be opportunity again. Because everybody's saved there, you see. Now I want to encourage us tonight. Let's just pray. Let's just pray. Shout out God, oh God. Oh, do, 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 do. We have got no idea what happened on the cross. Lord, when you say you took on the sin of the world, we've got no idea. But I thank you that your grace truly is enough for us in our ignorance. That you truly call us out of darkness into your marvelous light, where we don't have to know the extent of the cross. We just got to know you. We just got to have one conversation with you. Thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to come together like this, to hear of your goodness and your love, and just how you're changing lives by the day, Lord. One touch. One touch. Deliverance from addictions. Deliverance from bad, bad habits. Deliverance from religion. Father, we want to say to you, we want to be a church, Lord, that live, that gets sustained by the water that you give. Your Holy Spirit, we want you. We say without you, we're going to play it by the rules. We want you, Jesus. Just out of respect for guys, I want to ask you, when I was sitting there listening to these testimonies, I really believe the Lord's. The woman that came to the well, she was pretty much an outcast. The reason when we heard the weekend again, it was so cool for me when this was shared. When she came there at a certain, it was about noon, the Bible says, it was a time when most people wouldn't get water. She was an outcast. Okay. And all the Lord said to me was, no, just guys, bear with us here. This is very important. That there are keys sitting in this room, you're an outcast. Not maybe because of man's opinion, you feel that way. I want you to raise your hand. I'm not even going to call you out. Okay. I want you to raise your hand. Why you raise your hand is simply because you say, yes, Jesus. Here I am. Here I am. After the lady had the conversation with Jesus, Jesus makes it a lot worse. He says, oh, what about your husband? The man you with. And she's blatantly honest and says, basically, it's not my husband. He says, what about the other five? Like it wasn't bad enough. And she says, they weren't my husbands either. And he says, you speak truthfully. And because you've spoken truthfully, I can set you free. It's called repentance. Yeah. And for those of you that raised your hands, can you just raise your hand again? I just want, there's one at the back there. There's a girl there. Whoever's next to them, just lay your hand on them. Okay, there is no... This is the other thing. There is no special people to pray for others. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yes or no? If so, you have the anointing upon your life to pray for somebody. So I'm going to pray now. You just pray in the Spirit with that person now, okay? You guys, I want to say to you that you are typically the keys that Jesus Christ is going to use powerfully. Because here's what the enemy is doing. He's trying to keep you in a place of just disengagement. He's trying to keep you in a place of being powerless in a sense. And the last thing you must do now, and I must say this, is fall into works. It takes a surrender and an infilling of the Spirit. So I'm going to pray a prayer now. I'm going to trust God that there's going to be an impartation here. Father, thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the one. You are the one that comes to liberate us and set us free. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the gift of salvation. Thank you, Lord, that tonight there are people in this room that's getting saved from certain demonic mindsets. This is not of God, and we tell you to leave in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, the one who died, but who also rose again. The one who's come to set us free. And sets us free indeed. We are indeed free. And therefore I say to you in the name of Jesus, go forth and be the keys that you have been designed specifically
to be. Unlock those doors in the mighty name of Jesus. Unlock the doors. I want to say to you, if you're not planted, get planted, because from that bunch of keys, you will go forth. And a dream was sent from the intercessors, a board of intercession in his church, with a dream where keys shot forth into locks and unlocked doors. And I believe you form part of that. You are like those keys that shot forth from the base, from the bunch, into locks, unlocked it, and light came bursting through. And I want to encourage you, receive the Holy Spirit and what He has for you tonight. Receive it. Because it's available. It's up to us whether we receive it. I went through the same thing not very long ago. Where the enemy came to say, who do you even, how dare you think that this Almighty God will use you in a 3.2 million people strong city? And my response to that was, I'm no one, but He's everything. And He says He loves me, and He's going to do it through me. And I want to encourage you guys with that tonight. He's going to do it through you. It's not ability, it's availability. I want to end with this. Just be you. Because that's who He's made you to be. You. Thank you, Father, that it's finished. You said on the cross, Lord. You said it is finished. And there's nothing we can add. And there's definitely nothing we can take away. We worship You tonight, Lord. We honor You. For You are the God of salvation. And what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. In Your name, Jesus, amen.